Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in everyday life.
Hi, guys. Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast. I am Rose. There's Liz, David,
Hello.
And Bob.
Hi, Rose.
In the right order. We are all on Zoom today because three out of four of us are experiencing a lot of snow. And then the other one of us.
And one of us is in the beautiful springtime, warm weather with the almond trees blossoming everywhere and the beautiful sea, suffering for Jesus here.
Yes.
You're in heaven? You already went to heaven?
I've already attained.
Oh, boy. I think she's in denial.
Either way, I'm happy, so it's good.
Yes. Watch out. In denial, they have those man-eating fish. But just saying. No.
You mean crocodiles? You mean crocodiles?
Yeah. David, put hippos. That down for hippos, that joke, you know? For yourself.
Those big fish, hippos.
Okay, well, today we are going to talk about control and rest, and I have questions to ask everyone here today. So the first question is, why do we desire control? Anyone?
We all desire control. Rose, why do you desire control? Do you desire control, Rose?
I have relinquished all control today because I'm hosting this stinking podcast. So I'm being forced against my will and my control. So.
But what can you control?
I can control who answers this question. Liz.
You can't control that.
Why do we desire control?
Let's throw that over to Pastor Bob.
Okay. No one really has.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Now that's control.
I thought you left the whole meeting. I think I have it on.
Now that's a true control freak. I'm taking my ball and going home.
Oh my gosh.
Well, it's better to be in control than out of control. And for those of us who live out of control most of the time, it's better if you just are in control. I hope that answers your question, Rose.
Sure. David?
Well, it's a very chaotic world. And there's not much we can control. So when you actually can, affect your circumstances and you feel like you have agency, that's a good feeling. So I think it's totally natural that we want to have control, but it's just that oftentimes my expectation of what I think I can control is way off, right? But I just think it's a key quality of us as humans, even as born-again humans, that God's given us a spirit of self-control. So there are realms that we have a desire to control. The problem is when we start crossing barriers and I want to control other people or I want to control things that haven't been given to me. But control in itself doesn't have to be this, this dirty word, because it can be a good thing, I think.
Yeah, I think that we are designed to have, rulership over certain areas, which is another word, I think, for control. But yeah, like David said, the problem is then we try to exert that over things where we have no business trying to do that. And really, I think it's we do it, I think, out of comfort. I think it's a comfort for us to feel like we know what's going on and we can prepare for it and we can. In our minds, we can control outcomes if we're good enough at planning. So I think there's comfort that comes from it. I think that it, gives us a sense of security. You know, I think that, it gives us a sense of place in the world where we kind of know what we're doing, what to expect, how to walk forward, what we can expect from people around us, which again are not terrible things, but it really can set up a false sense of security and be a way that we look for security in things we were not meant to look to. And I think ultimately when we are really desiring control, it's because we don't trust we actually don't trust other people. We don't trust the Lord. Maybe we just don't trust a lot of things that we don't trust they're going to go well. And so we try to, in advance, make sure that they will.
Well, I think today, Rose, we've placed ourselves intentionally into a forum, if you will, that's a little bit outside of our control or our normal, like Liz was speaking to. So even doing our podcast here in, you know, two different continents and four different places, we've never done it before, and we've never practiced it really before. So we intentionally placed ourselves in a position where we were unsure. And I think that's what happens with control situations. We think we have this false perception that we're in control of something. But in reality, you know, God does what he will do in the earth. And we don't have a whole lot of control over him, apparently. So saying, and then we have to come to that realization somewhere along the line, like, oh, so God, you really are in control of all these things. And the false control can sometimes, I believe, be like a false idol that we put in our life, that we're just that perception that we think we somehow we are steering the boat completely, rather than receiving from him, receiving from Holy Spirit, his direction and his correction at times, and just his leading. And that, I mean, that's a whole different place. That's actually putting our life in someone else's hands, which is a kind of a the whole principle behind Christianity.
So
that was a lot.
So this is how you know if you're actually a Christian or not. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Well, or when you vacillate between being a Christian and not being a Christian, that's what it really comes to.
How can between a crucified, how can a crucified person have control over anything?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, the Bible talks about that. You're dead.
Death,
and your life is in your Christ. Yeah.
The death pastor.
Yeah. Death pastor's arrived.
Rose, you're a Christian. Do you struggle with control?
Yeah, I do. I think I've, you know, been better as I've matured in like in my Christian walk with control, just because I know that I've like watched God's way always be better. And so, like, you know, when we're referencing God, when he asks me to do something, I know that if I choose his way, it'll be better, just because I've seen it play out in the past. And I also know that he gives and takes authority. So if he's putting someone in authority over me in my life and they're asking something of me or they want something done a certain way, then I should probably do that. Mm. I'm not always the best at it and I don't always do it happily, but I tend to, you know, do what I'm asked. For the most part, I think. Yeah. Are there other, I know that we kind of mentioned some of them, but are there good forms of control?
Yeah. Like Pastor David said, self-control, which is really the only form of control that we have. I think we either we're given other areas of responsibility, but ultimately the only one we can control is ourselves, and we should. That is something that I think actually, it's funny because we want control in a lot of areas, but we really excuse ourselves out of self-control. And this is the primary area that we are meant to control is ourselves, our actions, our thoughts, our responses, the way that we are led or not by Holy Spirit, the way that we yield to him and yield giftings and yield to his way and his timing. I think those are very important areas of control. And I think a lot of times it's much easier, I'd say most times, it's much easier to try to control someone else than to actually exert self-control over yourself. I think that's much easier just to say, I need to fix everyone around me and I think I can do a better job than they can, than to actually say, I need to think about how I'm governing my own life, how I'm governing my thoughts, how I'm guarding my heart, how I'm keeping my heart from anger or from bitterness or from judgment or any of those things, impurities. I think that's a primary area of control in our lives.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right, because you can control yourself, but with others, you can only influence, you know? And so I think, you know, control always has to do with expectations, where it's, you know, I have expectations for how I believe something should go, and I want to control that. And in myself, I should probably be able to move towards that. If I have expectations for how I'm going to organize my day and love my family and get in the word and, you know, go to work, and I should be able to pursue those things, at least my intentions. I can control my steps that I take. But when other people come into the picture, I can only influence them. I can only, you know, speak words and do an example, unless I'm to actually physically grab them and, you know, force them to do something, which is, you'd only do that if your kid's going to, like, you know, jump into the fireplace or something. Probably a good idea to control them in that situation. But other than that, most of the time you're just influencing people. But, you know, the temptation is to have expectations for others and try to control them into that mold and try to push them into that image, even if it's only in your thoughts. And for me, that's created a lot of resentment and bitterness, and the way I want to see things go, you know, whether it's in a job or relationship or at church, that happens a lot. You know, you want to control how the worship service goes or the message or some ministry. You have expectations for it, and you just, like, until it doesn't fit those expectations, you know, it can be really frustrating if you can't let that go. And that's not a good form of control. So maybe I branched over to, you know, what we'll talk about later, but I just thought came to my mind.
Well, I think that control is just a substitute, probably a bad substitute for yielding and submitting, because when it really comes down to it, the only control you really have is whether or not you will submit or not. And submission, like we know, is not just complying. Like, you can comply with things, and that's really not yielding. That's really not submitting. And so I believe that what we actually have, the ability we actually have as human beings and God's people, is the ability to control whether we submit. And that's the only thing we have. And then once we submit, then we are actually putting our lives in the hands of either God or someone else. Ultimately, like Rose mentioned, it's God. It's his authority.
And I'm supposed to submit to other people?
Unfortunately, yes.
What?
You know, it's so easy to say that we submit to God, you know, because guess what? who's going to challenge you on that? It's like, oh, no, I submit to God in my whole life. And everybody's like, sure. but submitting to other people is a whole different story, because then everybody can tell. It's like right there in your face. It's like, oh, they're not really submitting. They're just doing it. They're just complying with, like you said, you have, you know, your children or other people, you can grab them and force them to comply with your will. There's no submission involved in there. And so exercising control, I believe, really does, like I say, it's a bad substitute for yielding and for submitting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think anyone, I mean, when you were mentioning the people say they submit to God all the time, but like, what is he asking of you? You know, like, I think the hardest thing when it comes to submitting to God is actually submitting to people. I think mm-hmm. that's like one of the hardest parts of the walk of Christianity, is because like, we don't have full trust in people all the time, you know, and people fail and people make mistakes, but like, it's still understanding that God has authority and he places authority, and then knowing that he is the one who's ultimately asking you to submit through that person. And so I think that is submitting to God, you know, because he asks things of you the hard things, I feel like, through people most of the time.
Yeah. And that's like the other subject we're talking about today is rest. You know, like if I can't rest in God, how can I submit to people? If I can't rest in who he is and take a break from needing to control everybody, it's like, man, like that's going to be a rough life. If I'm just complying with everything, oh, I let him do that, I submitted. And it's like, you're not really submitting at all. Because you're being forced to do something in order to avoid a greater evil or something. You know, there's nothing joyful or peaceful or Christ-like about that. And that's like, I've been praying a lot, like, God, just teach me how to let go of stuff. Like, just teach me how to let this stuff go. Like these little things that just aggravate me, things that I can't control. And he's just like, you have to rest. You have to understand I've settled it. Like I'm sovereign. I finished the work on the cross. I'm with you. I'm not going to forsake you. You have to rest. You know, that has to make a difference to you that God will accomplish his purposes and that Christ has accomplished our salvation. We should actually, that should change how we approach things. And I'm just trying to integrate that more and more because that's where the rubber meets the road. Like exactly like you said, Rose. And I could teach about submitting to God, but then, you know, God forbid, I need to yield to a person. It's that's the test. So, yeah.
I think one of the most straining things about control is that you feel responsible or you take responsibility for the outcome. And really, God very rarely holds us responsible for outcome. He holds us responsibility for obedience. And I think the godly term, I think, for the good form of control is really stewardship, right? Because then we are, we're stewarding things well, we're being accountable and we have responsibility for things and we do manage things well, but never out of the sense of ownership or actually for a guaranteed outcome. I think that's where control really gets a grip on people is they really try to manage a guaranteed outcome. And that is like, and that's why people end up very, stressed, I guess stress is the word, trying to control things, trying to control outcomes instead of actually stewarding our own lives first and then stewarding the things that God has put into our hands, which does bring rest. If we're bringing that into the conversation, there's a lot of rest in stewardship because you are following the orders of someone else that everything belongs to. And you actually don't have a lot of stake or say in the outcome. You're being obedient to obey and to submit.
Yeah, that's, I love that. The lack of stewardship or the understanding of that, what you're really trying to do, like you said, is like guarantee what's going to happen, what that outcome is going to be. And nobody can actually do that. And so, like you said, it brings frustrations into people's lives. It brings antagonism. It brings people just against each other. Like you said, because, you know, I mean, the word tells us to submit one to another in the fear of God. So it's bringing ourselves into a realm of just under his authority and under his stewardship and to manage the things that he places in our control, if you will, our stewardship, to manage those things rightly, properly, and not try to exert something so that we will get a guaranteed, you know, product all the time. And that's, you know, everybody wants that, right? Everybody wants to know whatever they do, it's going to bring this result. And that is one of the issues with control or yielding and submitting to God and to one another is that there are no guarantees. And, you know, and that's a hard thing for a lot of people it's a hard place for a lot of people to live, actually. And I would submit to us that place actually brings peace. It, it brings understanding, like who's really in control and who's really got, you know, he holds our soul in life. The Bible tells us, you know, he's the one that, you know, if he takes, you know, like the young lions, the Bible says, if he takes their breath away, they're done. And so this is our God. This is our life. And when we recognize, and I loved what you said, Liz, I think you really hit on it there, is that it's really a matter of stewarding the things that God gives us to steward, knowing that those things still belong to him. And that when he returns, he wants an account of what we did, what we got. And that is that stewardship. That's not just control. That's recognizing the value of the things that God puts in our sphere, and then operating appropriately with the value of those things, cherishing those things, caring for those things, whether they're things or people or places, that we care for those. And so that's called, that's stewardship. That's the caring for one another, if you will.
I mean, yeah, just to add on to that, I mean, a good form of control is the peace of God that rules in our hearts, like it says in Colossians 3. And that's the alternative, like you're driving at, is like, it's either God's peace that really is ruling us, or it's our stress. You know, it's hard. It's just, you can be in chronic stress or you can be in chronic peace. Right? That would be pretty cool to be in chronic peace, you know? So, yeah, just praying that the Lord reveals more and more. I think that's great what you said about stewardship and just releasing the ownership. And then you still are going to handle your stuff. I mean, that's good to handle it and do what God's delegated to do, but without needing that guarantee. So yeah, that's good.
Yeah. The other question is, when can control become unhealthy?
Religion. So religion is ultimate form of control, right? Because it's like, I'm going to control God, you know. If I do all these good things, you know, then other people are going to respond this way and God is going to respond this way. And these doors are going to open. These spiritual portals are going to open. I'm going to get these spiritual gifts, whatever it may be. And that's very unhealthy because, you know, you can't control God. It's just an unpleasant truth of the Bible that you can't control him, but he's already for you. And so that's the gospel. But I just think like when you're in this sort of unhealthy control, you're always stressed. I'm just speaking from personal experience, you know, and it's you'll never produce fruit. And so like, if you're walking around religious, you're walking around tired because you're just trying all the time, striving all the time. You're hungry because you don't really have anything from God. You know, and you're just burned out. And whenever I'm, you know, tired or stressed or, you know, hungry, I'm just not producing fruit, you know. Or if I have peace, then I can actually operate what God wants me to do. I can have all the other fruit of the Spirit. But if peace is absent, what is going to happen? There is not going to be any sort of fruit that comes out of that because I'm just trying to control everything. Okay. So I think that is very unhealthy because when we live in that state, we cannot bear fruit. Maybe works. Maybe looks good on the outside.
Probably does. I think when we try to step into areas where we do not have authority and we try to control those places, we're just setting ourselves up for disappointment, frustration, bitterness, all the things. For me, one area where the Lord made this very clear for me and is teaching me in other areas, but when I was worship leading, I really felt like I, you know, as I was leading the service, I felt like I needed to control as much as I could how people were responding, how things were going, what the outcomes were, if we, you know, got where I thought we were supposed to be, like all those things. And it was very frustrating and ultimately not a good, healthy relationship between me and the congregation, because I'm like, and for myself, there's a lot of pressure. Like if I was more anointed, then I would be, the result would be better. If I was better, if I could communicate better, if I spent more time in praying, you know, like all of those things to try to control what happened in like in a given service. And eventually I came to understand that the Lord was like, look, there's things that I do that you cannot do. Stop trying to do them. There's things that only the Holy Spirit can do. And no matter how good we are or how good we think we are, we cannot do them. And we need to stop trying. And he's saying, and there are the responsibilities of the people in the congregation. They have their own responsibilities. They have their choices to make, and you cannot control those. Stop trying to. But then there's you. That's the only thing that you need to worry about. Is, are you preparing? Are you keeping your life right before the Lord? Are you loving the people? Are you doing your best to lead and inspire? And then the outcome is up to him. And so that was why I had to like step out of this place of unhealthy control, because it was making me angry at people. it was condemning me and making me frustrated. It was trying to get me to produce something that I can't produce. And I think that's the really unhealthy part of control, is you think that you are either capable or supposed to, expected to produce something that you actually cannot produce. And it's a very futile effort, and you will be working very hard for something that's actually impossible. It will burn up a lot of your life.
Yeah, I mean, I've experienced that in preaching as well. You want people to respond to some altar call, and you know, I've read up on like how do you get do an altar call and all this, you know. But it's, you know, you can do everything that you can control yourself, you can prepare and everything, but like you said, you can't produce someone else's response as much as you want to. You can't control other adult human beings, you know. It's, we wish we could, but you know, you can't really do that, unfortunately. And if you try to use spiritual power to control them, we have another podcast on that, you know, it's the witchcraft podcast. Witchcraft. You know? So that's not a good idea either. Right. So even the greatest anointing or gifting, it's not a means to control people. It's a means to love people. Right? And so love is really the sacrifice of your control and of yourself for the good of someone else. And that's, you know, that's what God did. He yielded his life so that we can have life. He sacrificed for us before there was any outcome, you know, and many people still resist him and run from him. And yet he continues to serve. He continues to pursue. And he continues to draw and drag, but he doesn't just flip a switch and wipe somebody out, you know, wipe out their free will. He doesn't do that.
So Rose, you asked, what areas do we struggle with control? Is that what you're asking?
When can control become unhealthy?
Unhealthy.
But if you want to answer that question.
Yeah, and struggle. I mean, because I think they're both, it is a struggle as well as an unhealthy. I would say I don't actually have any problem controlling everybody around me. That comes pretty easy. You know, they all do what I say all the time. I think the place I have the most struggles with, or can become unhealthy for me, and probably for people who are listening, if there are people listening to this, is my own assessment of myself before God. I feel like I should have more control over that. Like, what does he actually think about me, and who am I to him? And I think a lot of people run into that along the way. And it's like, it's frustrating because I want to be in control of that. I want to be able to dictate the way God thinks about me, sees me, believes in me. And that's, I found to be impossible along the way. And so, but that's a reality. It's like, I want to control who I am before him, when in reality, he's fully in control of that. And to yield to that is it's a tough thing. So that's my, what would you call it, frustration or area that I struggle with. Controlling everybody around me is not a problem. I'm just, I tend to like when people do what they're capable of doing. I don't typically try to force people into some place. I will recommend it to them and see what they do. In the areas that I have stewardship over someone's life, there I will require an answer of them. But I don't feel like that's control. I believe that's just stewarding what God has put in your, sphere. I don't know if that answered your question, or I just made up another question and answered that.
It is kind of a question. Do you get anxiety? The later question is, what are some of your areas you struggle with control and anxiety about it? Do you deal with anxiety about that?
I would say that we all deal with some form of anxiety of how we're doing with God. yes, I can go to the scriptural, obviously, truths and principles of who I am within God, redeemed and bought by the blood of Jesus, that I'm secure in him. I know all that. But where I'm at in my life in actually pleasing him, I think there's sometimes an anxiety there. There's a concern, if you will, if I'm going to be honest with you completely. I don't believe that it's just 100%, where everything's great. I do everything that's right in my Father's eyes, and I think that that does bring on some kind of anxiety because I'm not controlling, if you will, my life, and so I think that that's somehow dictating how God thinks about me. But in reality, when I actually come to my senses in these areas, I realize that his thoughts are much higher than my thoughts and his ways beyond my ways, including what he thinks about me. Sometimes we take a scripture like that and we just think about like the eternal things, the things that are out there in space, the things that are deep truths of God. In reality, it's also his thoughts toward us. And we don't actually, we have no control over that, really. We have, like I mentioned earlier, we have to yield to that. We have to yield to him and steward our life properly. So that's the level of control we have. So I went all the way around the, Liz, help.
All the way around the mountain.
Yes, all the way around the mountain. Well, I think that it's important for us to get to where the rubber meets the road in our life with God. Yes, don't you?
Yes. Yeah. Well, what I was going to say is this has to do with unhealthy parts and the how you deal with it and anxiety and all that. So one of my methods for dealing with control is to just check out and not care about anything, which is just as unhealthy, I want to say, because it's really easy just to like when thing, you're trying to get things going a certain way, you're trying to bring people along, no one wants to go, everyone's, it just feels like you're not getting anywhere. And finally it's like, okay, whatever, do what you want. I give up, and then be like, yeah, see, I don't have a problem with control. I just give it up. I don't care. Make whatever mistakes you want. Make whatever choices you want. I don't care. Deal with it. And that's not actually rest. It's completely just stepping out of faith. I can tell myself, okay, I'm just, I'm giving it up. I don't care. I'm not going to worry. I'm going to be at peace. But really what I've done is then I've taken myself out of being joined in hearts with those people. And I've taken myself out of actually a love relationship with them and called it peace. And it's really a counterfeit because it's a divided place. It's not still a joined place. And so for me, it's really easy to either just control something or just check out completely. The hardest part for me is the middle ground of things aren't going the way that I want them to or think they should. People aren't making the decisions that make sense to me. And yet I'm still going to walk. I'm going to keep my heart in it. I'm going to be part of conversations. I'm going to be part of this team solution, bringing things together. And I'm going to love people. I'm going to walk it out. And I'm going to have peace in the middle of that. Not peace because I distanced myself. Peace because I'm still in the middle of it. And I'm trusting the Lord that he's sovereign and that he is the one who builds his church and that he is the one who works all things together for good. That he's the one who will perfect that which concerns me, you know, so that's the place of true rest. It's not just because I check out of things. And that's a mistake I think people can make, which is just as unhealthy as trying to control things. And so it's really, can we keep our hearts in the middle of something and yet still find peace and still and really trust the Lord that his ways are higher. And that no matter what we see, it's happening that we're freaking out about, we're having anxiety over, and we're worried about the outcome, he is still able to use it for good. He's still able to work it for good. That's where peace comes from, is that I know no matter what is happening, if I'm walking with him and abiding with him and loving people, he will work it for good. And that is what brings ultimate peace.
Well, I think also, Liz, what you hit on there is that sometimes we want to substitute indifference in there. And the indifference is not a good substitute. It isn't peace, actually. It's the opposite of love. And it's, like you said, loving God, loving people, loving anything that we're supposed to be involved with or stewarding or, you know, having our lives poured into. What we're doing is we're stopping it up and we stopped pouring into everything. Indifference is a horrible substitute for peace. Ultimately it will bring extreme anxiety later on down the road. It's mm-hmm. because you recognize, wow, this is totally opposite of God's love.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I mean, control and anxiety is like pretty much prevalent in every area in my life. So I'm just like, I'll struggle over, you know, some health thing that freaks me out or getting to the airport 4 hours early or, you know, just trying to make sure the house is all set up so nothing can go wrong when my kids are playing. And just, you know, I try to just go ahead and make sure everything's set up. You know, that's where I just struggle with like, okay, let me just pull back. Let me allow things, to happen without, like you said, without disengaging, because I tend to be like, if I care about something, I want it to go 100% perfect. And the things that I can't, I'm just not going to care about it. You know, I will completely just bail out of it. Or I'll procrastinate it. You know, I'll just be like, I'm not going to, you know, so like, I think probably a psychologist could explain that. I mean, as I'm saying it, it sounds like a problem I should probably deal with, but you know, I'm trying to deal with it with God and talk to people about it. But yeah, just to pray through it, I think is like the biblical answer of like, you're anxious and like, yeah, you have to allow certain people to make decisions and you have to allow things to happen, but you don't stop praying for them and you don't stop being available to them. But to allow them to do those things, make allowances for people's faults, while you're still not bailing on them. That's the tension. I mean, that's where you have to navigate it. And that's exactly how God treats us. You know, we're freaking out about things that ultimately he knows doesn't matter. And he's not going to give up on us, but he's going to walk beside us and encourage us, and, you know, help us. He's always going to be looking for a solution. He's always going to be comforting us. He's never going to cast us out and cast us off. And just to be a person like that, that has a steadfast love, you know, is that's really like God's character, is this incredible balance, this incredible beauty of steadfastness and love and mercy, you know, and empowering us and yet saving us, you know. So he knows when to move and when not to move, and he never worries about anything. That's like a pretty cool thing about God. I don't think he's ever really that worried about how things are going to turn out. And I wish I just need to, if we're asking our struggles, I just need to maybe enter into his, hey, you know what? All is going to be well. There was this one saint that was like, all will be well and all will be well and all manner of things will be well. And it's like, you could almost sing song it, but from God's perspective, that's how it is. And like, I know I don't tap into that enough.
I don't know. I think that God does worry about Rose now and then, but he gets over it. And he sends his, you know, a little help dog to help calm her. David, you and I are going to be traveling sometime shortly in here in the future, and you are going to get total immersion into not having anything planned, being late for everything, being the last person on the plane, having them hold the door open for you to jump in. It's so good. I'm so looking forward to it.
Well, God, he always does that to me everywhere. That always happens to me. And I never really get better. So he's just going to keep doing it until somehow I learn, you know, like in Africa, our plane broke at the last minute, like twice. And I really can't control any of this. And getting shoved into a bus with like 400 other people and just like shoved up against the window. We'll go back to a hotel and we don't know when your next flight could possibly even be. And so that sort of stuff will always happen until I get it. You know, so I just have to.
But you know, Pastor David, you could deal with that control at 30,000 feet too, you know.
I actually don't worry when I'm in the air, because I know there's absolutely nothing I can do. Like, especially when you're flying over the polar ice caps, you're like, you know, if we crashed over, you know, a forest, we'd all be dead. It wouldn't matter what we're flying over because we're 30,000 feet up. But if you crash over the polar ice caps, you're super dead. There's just absolutely no way you're not going to die. And there's nothing I can do about it. I can't fly a plane. And so I just go, okay, you know, we're dead, I guess. You know, whenever the turbulence starts, I just go, okay, I guess we're dead now. You know, and I check out and I don't worry about it.
David, super dead. Is that like what the Bible talks about, like twice dead? What are we talking about, super dead?
Yeah, I got it from Hot Rod, but it's probably also in the Bible.
Oh my God. Save us, Liz. Save us, or Rose. Somebody help us here.
Yeah, I don't know. I was going to say, where I live now, there's no control. There's no control for anything. It's you think, okay, I'm going to go to the store. They decided not to be open that day. Okay, I'm going to go over here. Nothing. I'm going to drive. Okay, it's going to take me 15 minutes to get to the church. And then they're doing road work and there's an accident and it's raining. So everyone's, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy here. And we have learned that nothing you think you can depend on, you can't. You can't depend on it. And so we live our lives this way now. It's we're learning a lot. You just got to go with it. You got to make it work. And ultimately, you have to worry about what's important. And the things that aren't important, don't stress.
Yeah, there is definitely a false security in the United States that goes on with people. Yes. And just we've got it under control. Don't worry about it. You know, somebody's swooping in and they will help us.
Right.
Yeah. Whereas in a lot of places in the world, that is totally not true. It's not, you know, Greece is somewhat okay-ish, you know, but right. In some places it's like, no, there's no guarantee. It's not, everything's not guaranteed. Matter of fact, everything.
Right. Exactly.
You deal in a different perspective.
Yeah.
I felt like that in Alaska. I was like, if I get stuck in this glacier, nobody's going to help me. I'm just dead.
But you had that.
Like, you're just so far away from every safety net that you're like, well, all right. Okay.
Still one of my favorite pictures, Pastor David squeezing through the glacier, the look of extreme panic and dread and panic. Oh, it's great.
We should figure a way of putting that up on site here somehow.
I came through.
This is true out of control panic. Oh, gosh. Well, what do you guys think?
I wanted to touch back on something that was being said earlier. Sorry, I didn't like interject or say anything before, but when we were kind of talking about like when we're ministering and like we are trying to control the situation, I think sometimes for me, a struggle or anxiety I get when I'm ministering and God's shown me like the place he wants to take people or the things he's wanting to do in people's lives. And I see that and I've tasted it and I want to go there with the people and or with somebody in their life. And there's no response happening from the people, kind of like what Liz and David were talking about earlier, it can be so difficult. And I think that it doesn't always feel like it's wrong or unhealthy, but like it can be when you're just like, you know, because then you kind of are controlling it and not totally letting Holy Spirit do what he wants to do just based off of what you're seeing, like the reactions or the, like you're not getting the response you're desiring or you thought you were going to get when God kind of showed you this. And so now you're freaking out and anxious and okay, what do I got to do to make this happen? And I think that's like one of the hardest things for me when I'm ministering is when I've seen what God wants to do and like, I am not seeing a response, but then people are always like, there's still always in worship team when I'm relating to worship team, there's still always somebody who was met by God, whether I saw it or not, you know, like he does the work, like Liz was saying, he shows up and he does things that we don't always see and we can't control it because it's not within our control. And I think it's just, I don't know, it takes a lot of faith in those moments to just believe and know that God is like gonna do what he showed you. Like he's gonna do it. Like that's his, it's his control. It's his thing. And we're vessels of it. And yeah, just trying to make sure that we're like finding rest in that time is really, I find it extremely hard because I don't know, I just get so passionate for this thing that God showed me and, or this place that God showed me. And it, I almost, sometimes I even get mad because I feel like I didn't get to encounter it or experience it because people didn't go along with me or something. And that's just not right. Like it's not a right way to think about it or a right way to you know, act about it. But
I think Moses probably felt that way.
Right.
You think?
Well, you people, man, you keep me out of the promised land here.
Yeah.
Jerks. Sorry.
Well, Rose, think about the Lord.
Right.
Like he gives us glimpses of things that he wants to do. He sees the full picture of what is possible, what would be possible if we would just yield, we would just go along and we would just believe. I mean, sometimes I'm like, Lord, you know, I see this thing, but they just won't listen and they won't hear. And he's just like, yes, let's talk about you. Let's talk about you now, you know, because he bears with us through this, through all of those things. Like I was talking with my friends about how amazing it is that he made himself a father. And we're talking about kids and just frustrations, you know, and they were like, yeah, and God is a father. He chose to be a father because to experience, he knows exactly what that feels like to have children that you love and you want the best for. And they refuse to do the right thing. They refuse to go along with what's actually best for them. And this is the whole thing. Like the God, like God, we say like God's in control. He actually chooses not to control a lot of things. He's in charge. He's ultimately sovereign. But he does not control everything. He will work it for good because his ways are higher than ours, but he is not going to make each person respond the way that they should. He doesn't make me respond the way that I should respond to him. And yet he still bears with me. He loves me. He continues to extend opportunities for repentance and kindness towards me. And he teaches me and he's so patient. And I think it's just, you know, like the God of the universe who could do everything perfectly and make everybody act perfectly and have a perfect outcome every time of every single thing. He chooses to let people decide and walks with them. And yet he still is always working for their good. Like that's an amazing way to exist.
So God's not a control freak.
No,
I don't believe so.
Not freak.
No, he that wouldn't be a perfect outcome. Like Liz was saying, if he made everyone do what was perfect to him, that wouldn't be the perfect outcome. He's trying to grow people to maturity, to come into real relationship with him and to be, you know, mature agents choosing between good and evil. And he's bringing that about. So even if he's not directly, you know, some theologies say there's not one rogue maverick molecule in the universe. It's like, well, yeah, okay, there's quantum indeterminacy, right? So, you know, but he actually will actually guide everything through his sovereign leadership. And he has so much confidence and so much persistence that he's going to get it to the end goal. He's going to get us all to the end goal, but he wants us to come willingly and with him. Okay. And he's not short on time. He's going to get it done. He's got patience. He's not stressed. He's in peace. He's got all the resources. He's got all the wisdom. And to me, when I meditate on that, it gives me peace. Cause I go, wow, okay, I have room to grow and even to make mistakes. And God understands that. He's with me. He forgives me, and he's getting me where I need to go. And he might even get these other people there too. You never know. Maybe not. I don't know. But he's a good leader, so he'll probably get them there.
I think what they're trying to say, Rose, is you have to repent. I'm just saying that. Really? You know that. I know that. I'm just going to do plain English. So to everyone listening to this, we have to repent from our controlness. And and then, you know, Pastor David had to use that big quantum word, totally macro. Yeah, that too. Yeah, what he said. But the reality is that you as a, well, I think all worship leaders have this issue, is that because they have a vision for what it is in their own private worship time, maybe when they've experienced and touched God, they expect that to just happen because they're leading properly or they're doing things right. And meanwhile, everybody, like David and like Liz said, we all have free wills, and you don't get to control somebody's free will. God intentionally made us that way. You know, whom the Lord has made free is free indeed. And that's not just free from, you know, dying and go to hell. That's a free will individual that has all sorts of crazy possibilities. And we have to deal with that. And so when you're a leader, whether you're a pastor leader preaching and you have an expectation that thousands are going to come streaming to the front and repent and fall on their faces and cry, sometimes that happens. And sometimes it does not. And sometimes people just comply. They just go do it. But there isn't really anything. So what can happen, especially if we're like a worship leader, is you see everybody jumping up and down and being all excited, and we will translate that, or their hands and their eyes closed, and we translate that in our little brains as to, I've led them totally into the presence of God. I've done my duty, God, and now everything is great. And meanwhile, God's like, there's a lot of hands up there, but nobody surrendered. And so, or maybe there are no hands up there and everyone surrendered. And you, this is why we can't judge by what we see all the time, because we look on the outward and God's looking on those hearts. And I know that we've all seen this in dealing with ourselves as well as other people, that many times people respond to God and there's no outward evidence. There's none. And you're like, what happened there? We're supposed to have this. So there we are trying to control a circumstance and an outcome and a response. And we just don't get to do that. We give people options all the time, right? We have calls to the altar for people to receive Jesus. And then sometimes nobody shows up, and maybe somebody heard this, or maybe they heard the recording of it 10 years later, and they go to their altar, and we have no idea that it's happening. So, yeah, it's kind of a crazy thing. So, Rose, just repent. You'll be fine.
Thanks.
Nice.
Wanted to be on this podcast.
I did. I wanted to be on this podcast.
You begged and pleaded.
She pleaded to be on this podcast.
Have full control in being here and doing this right now. I have another question for us. What has God given us that helps us rest in his peace rather than control and anxiety?
I think there's this little thing called the Holy Spirit.
Little.
I think that's a
thing.
I think that's one of the major gifts that the Lord has given is he actually dwells with us and in us. He chooses to do that, which is amazing. He chooses to indwell and to be with us always. That if we actually really meditated on that, that should bring us a lot of peace. That God himself dwells in us and with us. That would be a good thing to actually think about what that really means.
Yeah, that's crucial. I think for me, the example of Jesus is, you know, what brings the most peace and what brings the most rest, because in any situation, you could look at him and see how he handled it. And you go, okay, that's a good guideline, and help me, Holy Spirit, to be like that. Okay, so it all goes together. So if you understand how Jesus could handle himself and how he could be in the presence of the Father, even when he was on trial and he's getting whipped and shamed, and he can forgive people in perfect composure, even while he's being crucified. And you think about that and you go, okay, that's the example that he set for us. We can't do it in our flesh, but like Liz said, we have the Holy Spirit. And if we're continually meditating on Jesus, we say like that he taught that there was no anxiety. He lived that way. He was never given up to the terror of the enemy or the terror of circumstances or rulers or people that can make his life harder. He always had courage in that. Okay. So for me, like whenever I'm faced with that, you know, it's that old, I used to have a wristband. What would Jesus do? You know, but that it's really important just to think about, how did he live this out? And if we meditate on that consistently, it's going to renew our mind and help us to live like him.
Well, for all us natural people out there, what he's given us to deal with, you know, to give us peace is pills, drinking, sex, entertainment, all those wonderful things, every herb of the field God's given. You know, I'm just going to, you know that. Everybody knows that, right? No. Those are just another realm of control, you know, because the pill is in your hand. The drink is in your hand, and you determine. Well, you determine for a while until you're out of control. And then so the reality is that, you know, we turn to a lot of false gods and false images and false things for control. And we have to call that out if we're going to have somewhat of a serious podcast with all our laughing, because I love our laughing part. There is that reality, and people need to know that. They need to understand, see that for the reality it is, that what it is you're not submitting to God or anyone else. You're just taking control by numbing yourself, or you think you are. And let me tell you, in that numbed state, everybody and everything has control over you. And it's you're opened up to all forms of control. So yes, like pastors just said, the reality is tapping into that, what did Liz call it? That little thing, the Holy Spirit that fills everything and everybody, but yeah, that little guy. And just walking with him, just letting him, giving him the opportunity to actually come and lead like Jesus promised he said he would come and lead us to truth, which is to Jesus, to a real life with him, and not just some fake thing that has some issues.
What has God given to Rose in these situations?
I just disassociate no, I'm just kidding. I think that this is one of those areas that I really just have to trust him in a lot of the times, because I think I'm more prone to just, I think that if I do it, I know it'll be done well. And like, this is just my myself, you know. If I do it, I know it'll be done well. I know that it'll be done on time. I know that all these things, you know, and like it would not be, how am I trying to say this? I think that he gives us, you know, the fruits of the spirit, which are, like Liz said, self-control and peace and those things when we are tethered to his spirit, spirit to spirit. And so when I tether my spirit to his, I will experience peace and rest despite what's happening around me, despite what's happening, despite how much or how little control I'm in, I should be tethered to his spirit because that is where I'm going to find peace. That's where I'm going to find joy. That's where I'm going to find rest, and where I'm going to ultimately like know that I'm walking in the correct path that he's set before me, because he's got, like, once we give ourselves to him, he's going to give us the best life. And so I think that that's just making sure that we're tethered to him is like one of those things that he's made himself available to us to have that one-on-one, to have that closeness, to have that intimacy with us that he's given us to. I mean, we may not be in control, but we're, that's the most controlled life we'll have, like, you know, the best, like the best outcome for our life is when we do that with him.
Yeah. Yeah. And the, of course, the word of God is an amazing help to us in this, you know, great peace have they, which love your law and nothing will offend them. There's a, knowing the word, knowing what the promises are for us, how we are designed to live and to be able to claim those things that, you know, I may not be able to understand everything that's happening right now, but I can still have peace. And to be able to read the testimonies of people who live lives that they didn't understand either in the moment, and to see how God worked it for them, that should be a great encouragement to us. That should be a great source of peace for us to be able to read the testimonies of Abraham and Joseph and Samuel and David, and to see how the Lord came through and he did things that were impossible and how he worked things, even though everything was against them, God worked it in their favor. And that should, if we actually believe that those things were written for us to be an encouragement to us, that will bring great, great peace and great strength to our hearts. So the word of God, I think, you know, I think a lot of times we neglect the word and that's why we end up in anxiety. The word brings peace to us.
Yeah. I mean, we believe in something called the gospel of peace.
Yeah. So
I think, you know what, I got this idea in my head where it was saying, like, when you try to give up control of others, it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to hurt at first because you're used to trying to conform other people. And also when you try to control yourself, that's going to hurt at first because, you know, you're not used to that. And self-indulgence is taking a back seat and you're actually stewarding, like Liz mentioned earlier in the podcast. So there is some discomfort that we should expect when we repent. As Pastor Bob told Rose to repent, she should arm herself with that way of thinking that she might suffer a little bit in the flesh, yielding up control of others and stewarding her own life, you know, and my life. So I will face that. But it wasn't the end of the story. It was just like, you know, if we're just like, yeah, it's going to hurt, you better do this. You know, that's just not, I don't want to leave right. That because that's not the gospel. It's part of the practical application of it, but the gospel is that God has done something. He has changed something. He's revealed who he really is, the God of peace, the God of self-sacrificial love, the God of humility, the God who's walking with you and would even die for you, for your good at your worst moment. And that he's also this God that says, I'm coming again, and he's making all things new. And so this is an incredible gospel. It's a gospel that God is going to bring peace to the entire creation. Everything that's at war with itself now, including my own mind and my own heart, is going to be perfectly set at ease and come into the total freedom of the glory of the children of God. Those are big Bible words, but it basically means trust in Jesus and it will be all right. It's going to be what it was always meant to be. He's bringing us into this eternal banquet where we're going to sit with him at the table and we're going to share life with him. We're going to share his peace, his shalom, just as he intended it from the beginning. He's going to restore that. Whatever the enemy has broken, whatever you've broken, it can be restored to peace because of what Jesus has done. He's taken all the strife, all the hostility. He's taken all the sin, all the rebellion, all, you know, everything that we are to one another in wickedness, everything that we are against God. And he's buried that. And he's risen again to say there's a new creation. And so if you believe that, which is tough, it's tough to believe, but why not? He's God. He did it. He accomplished it. We have historical reasons to believe that. And we have his Holy Spirit, like Liz said. So God has a message of peace, a gospel of peace. And everybody has to hear that. If you don't rest in that, you can't produce fruit. Like I said before, only works, only stress, only religion, only, oh man, this hurts so bad to follow God. And that's just not what it's meant to be. It's meant to be an eternal party. It's meant to be this good thing. It's meant to be a good thing. And so we're like, oh man, like, you know, and we're like psychologizing it a little too much, maybe, where it's just like, hey, he did something. Do you receive that or not? Did he really do it? You know, so that would just be my gospel challenge to myself. And if it applies to you, just receive it, because he's a good God. He's a God of peace. It's good news.
I feel like I need to clarify also, I don't think the Holy Spirit is just a little thing. I was saying that, like, I think
I was just joking.
I think sometimes I think sometimes though in our mentality we're like, oh yeah, the Holy Spirit, you know, like
Holy Spirit.
He's with me. The Holy Spirit is with me, you know, like my little helper. He's God. He's God in us, not just God with us, God in us. And we have anxiety, you know. I mean, I'm just saying we stress about things so much, and we have God himself chose to make his home in us. That's how close he wants. That's how invested he is in my life, in your life, that he actually decided, I don't want to just be in the house with you. I want to be with you wherever you go in every minute of your day, because I care that much about what happens to you. I care that much about your life. I care that much about what's in front of you. And so, then it's like, don't fear. I'm with you. I'm in you. That's what I'm saying. The revelation of the Holy Spirit residing in us, that ultimately, if we really meditate on that, I think that will actually really set us free from a lot of fear, a lot of dread, and a lot of need to feel like we have to control things. We understand the one who made everything you see, the one who made the universe, chose to make his home with you because he cares about what happens within every moment of your day. So there's my disclaimer about that.
I have drug poor little Holy Spirit into some bad places. He's gone kicking and screaming the entire way. The God of the universe.
Yeah. The Spirit of peace has led me into some stressful circumstances. But I know he will overcome.
I love it. I love it. Well,
where we have, is that our time?
Yeah, I think we're about there. I'm not sure exactly how long we've been going. I think normally.
Great. Yeah, we need to control this.
I gave up control of that today, and I took control of hosting today.
See what happens?
You should have done both.
What happens to people? I know.
Do it all. Let's do it.
You know, I wanted to say one last thing for anyone who actually made it to the end of this podcast. If we actually show it, that's a whole nother thing. We'll see how this all works. But I believe that when we lean into his grace, that ultimately it helps us with this whole control aspect we have of that we think we have in our lives. I believe that for me personally, when I've tried to control everything and it didn't work, or it didn't work out the way I did, when I really start to think about it and lean into where I know his grace resides and his care for my life, then I really do relinquish the control in that place. It's interesting because when we encounter his grace, there's no place for our control to exist. We must enter into his place there. And in his place, there's peace and joy. And there's this confidence that he's got the wheel. He's controlling things. He's steering. And there's some things that, I think we covered today. I just want to really put a star next to one of those things Pastor Liz mentioned and Pastor David spoke on it some also, and that is God is our Father. And as a great Father, as a good Father, he's designed it for us to have to make decisions to yield or not. And he's not going to impose force his will on us like that. He's willing to actually, the God of the universe is willing to actually place himself, the Father, in a position where he can walk with us, see how we choose things, help direct us, help lead us some, guide us, sometimes nudge us, sometimes a big nudge, but still be willing to walk it out with us and not leave us, just still be our Father. And that is so good. And that's why I said I so rely on his grace at those times. I realize, his grace is what saved me, and it's what's kept me, and it's what's going to keep me all the way. And I don't have to worry about or be anxious or have anxiety and frustration, all those things that are the result of trying to control everything. I can lean into his grace.
If your Father so clothes the grass of the field, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? That's Jesus. He knew that. He totally understood it that way, what you said. And that was thank you, Pastor Bob. That was that was a really good reminder for me to hear that.
Yeah. All right. Well, go. Don't be a control freak. Let Holy Spirit... the little thing called Holy Spirit, take over. All right. We hope to see you next time. Bye.
Take care.
Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, visit spiritschoolofministry.com.